Live from the studios of KQNA, the talk of the Quad Cities.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
It's time for Talk of the Town, Soup Scoop, with Prescott Unified School District's Soup of Schools, Joe Howard, and Assistant Soup, Marty Reed. Today's Talk of the Town is sponsored in part by House Chilson & Associates, Prescott College, Elite Reflections Salon & Day Spa, Augie's Restaurant, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, A&E Reaper Graphics, Foothills Bank, Barrett Propane, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott Brewing Company. And now, here are your hosts for today's Talk of the Town Soup Scoop, Joe Howard and Marty Reed.
Welcome to the Soup Scoop on Talk of the Town, 11:30 a.m., 99.9 and 95.5 FM streaming worldwide on KQNA.com. I'm Joe Howard here with my co-host Marty Reed. Welcome to the show. February is the last month of winter, and in Prescott, that can mean a mix of snowstorms and warm spring days. You all know the groundhog did see his shadow. So we're looking forward to the transition back to full in-person learning in our Prescott school campuses. After educators were prioritized in the 1B category to be among the first groups to receive the COVID-19 vaccination, USD Health and Safety Coordinator Alexa Scholl immediately went to work to make sure that the Prescott School teachers and staff had the opportunity to receive the vaccine. On January 22nd, Prescott High School was transformed into a vaccine distribution center for our teachers and staff. Our professional school nurses, working alongside with the Prescott Fire Department, administered the first COVID-19 vaccine dose to hundreds and hundreds of USD employees. We coordinated with the local, county, and state health departments, as well as Spectrum Healthcare, and we provided the opportunity to our staff to receive that vaccine about 2 weeks ago. The clinic will be open again for our employees to receive their second dose on February 19th. And the mood at Prescott High School that day a couple weeks ago was a mix of nervousness and excitement, but I can tell you every person who came through that clinic was grateful. We're so excited to see a light at the end of the distance learning tunnel as our vaccines bring us back to what we do best, teaching our kids in our schools.
USD has already started to phase into in-person hybrid learning. And this Monday, this week, our Discovery Gardens Preschool welcomed our littlest students back to in-person learning. And next week, starting Monday, all of our K through 12 students will transition back into our schools with the hybrid learning model, coming to school 2 days a week, Monday through Thursday, and everyone doing at-home learning on Friday. We will continue to monitor the community health metrics. We are hopeful to be back full in-person learning in the spring. Our planned phased-in approach has been working so far to keep COVID out of our schools, and by following our safety protocols, we hope to continue that trend from here on out. Health and safety remains the number one priority of Prescott Unified.
Thanks, Marty. And listeners, many of you know PUSD has highly qualified professionals leading, teaching, and working for our district. So the planning, the implementation, and transitions are carefully orchestrated. On today's show, we'll be talking with Brian Moore. He's our chief financial officer, about public school budgets and what this pandemic means for PUSD going into next year. We also welcome to the show today partners from our partner organization, Armed to Know. You may have heard of them. You'll hear a lot about them later on. Stay with us. This is a group of passionate and concerned individuals who work to sponsor community events for youth families, and they discuss topics that affect youth in our community, such as substance abuse, effects of social media, and, of course, the physical and emotional struggles that youth experience. We look forward to this.
We also welcome back to the show Kelly Bradstreet, Director of Instructional Support for the district. And she's going to talk about PUSD programs that we already have in place that many students have taken advantage of during this challenging year, as well as some of our social emotional programs we know will help our students succeed when they transition back after living through a pandemic. We have a lot of information to share with you on today's show. Thanks for tuning in. This is Scoop on Talk of the Town, 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM, streaming worldwide at K2NA.com.
Ring, ring, goes the bell. You're listening to Talk of the Town Soup Scoop. Now listen up, because class is back in session.
Welcome back to our call-in edition of the Soup Scoop. Our first call-in guest today is Brian Moore, the 2019 Arizona School CFO of the Year. Yay!
Yeah, Brian.
Brian is an important member of our district leadership team, and we're grateful to have him join us today to talk about Arizona public school funding and PUSD's projected budget challenges going into the next school year. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Mrs. Reed and Mr. Howard. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, Brian. I didn't barely recognize you calling me Mr. Howard.
Okay. Hi, Joe, and hi, Marty. How are you?
Doing well, Mr. Moore. Hey, one of my favorite teachers ever, one of the greatest middle school math teachers, is now our chief financial officer. And, boy, can he do it. So, Brian, we're just so grateful for the work you do. And, you know, funding in school districts and public schools, and specifically Arizona, can be quite confusing. But we sure appreciate you making sense out of it for us.
You're welcome.
So we've got you on the show today. You know, of course, we're talking about COVID-19 and how the district has addressed that. Obviously, lots of budget implications around that. But let's kind of back it up for our listeners and just talk about, with the unpredictability of COVID-19 and that crisis, what did that really mean in terms of Arizona public school funding?
You know, well, there's really two things. And the first really has to do with the way that Arizona funds public schools. Up until about 3 years ago, school districts knew what their upcoming budget would be because their budget was based on the current year's student populations. And school districts are funded based on how many kids attend the district for the first 100 days of the school year. If a student only attends part of the first 100 days, then we get partial funding for that student. If a student enrolls on the 101st day of school, the school district doesn't get any funding for that student until the next year. And so up until about 3 years ago, we would, at this time of the year, know exactly what our budget would look like and appropriately make adjustments, whether it's staffing, programs, based on the number of kids in that current year. But 3 years ago, Arizona decided to switch to a different model, and they switched to something called current year funding. And what that is we have to predict at this time how many students we think are going to be attending in the first 100 days of next school year. And so 1 year ago, prior to the pandemic, PUSD administrators and all of the people we consult with predicted what we thought our student enrollment would be. And then the pandemic hit, and just like districts all over Arizona and across the United States, there has been a decrease of enrollment this school year because of COVID. So a year ago, we predicted that there would be X number of students attending in the first 100 days. And unfortunately, with the pandemic and the decreased enrollment, we have to, based on current number of students, adjust our budget downward because our prediction was obviously wrong. Who could have predicted COVID and the pandemic 1 year ago? And what that's meant for Prescott Unified School District is a little over $900,000 of revenue for our maintenance and operation budget, which is our main budget. 80% of that budget goes to salaries and benefits of our employees. A little over $900,000 less revenue just due to decreased enrollment due to the pandemic. And districts all across the United States are feeling it. Now, Arizona is the one that has the current year funding model, and every district in Arizona is having to adjust their budgets in current time because their enrollment is down. So that's the first unpredictability aspect. And unfortunately, because of the way were set up with that current year funding. It will always be that way. The other unpredictable thing for this year's budget that everybody in Arizona is having to deal with is, given COVID numbers and times that we had to be in distance learning, it was decided that if a child is in distance learning, they would not be fully funded. They would only receive, the district would only receive 95% funding while that student is in distance learning. And so when it is unsafe to be at school, or even parents that are choosing to have their child in distance learning, even when we were in the hybrid, anytime a child is in distance learning, we get less funding. And that also resulted in a little less than $900,000 in less revenue than we predicted. Because once again, who could have thought that we would have a decreased funding at 95% due to distance learning? So the unpredictability for Prescott Unified School District really equates to almost $1.7, $1.8 million less in revenue than what we budgeted 1 year ago. And we are trying to navigate those waters right now.
Well, thank you, Brian. And I think the happy ending to the story is the incredible support that came from the federal government and is coming through our state and being dispersed. And so it takes the unpredictability out of it. And so I know that we shared a lot of this information in our board meetings and our board retreat. And unfortunately, some people have just taken the first part of it, what you just explained, the unpredictability, and said, oh, gosh, Prescott Unified School District lost $2 million. And I'll just remind that you said every school district in the state is at this point. It reminds me of what a lot of people are saying right now about returning to school. The CDC and Dr. Fauci said it's safe to return to schools. The second part of that sentence is it's safe to return to schools when we have mitigation measures in place, such as social distancing, hybrid models, and masks, which is where we're headed. So I want to now, we're talking about budget, so I want to move into the second part of the sentence. While PUSD and every school district in Arizona has lost an incredible amount of money due to COVID, the ESSER and many, many other grants that came to all schools in the country are coming and really doing an incredible job of supporting us in this time of need, and it makes a lot of sense. So let's shift gears to that, Brian, and talk about the support and the grants that we're receiving that will make up for this unpredictable loss of students or loss of revenue based on COVID.
Yeah, and it's huge. There's three specific ones that really have helped districts all across Arizona, and specifically Arizona, coming through ADE, Arizona Department of Education, and the governor's office. The first is what you mentioned. It's the ESSER grant, and it was to provide funding for PPE and mitigating measures to make hybrid or in-person learning safe, and also to make up revenue for that enrollment loss. And that first round of ESSER money for Prescott Unified School District was just about $450,000, and that's where we purchased our acrylic or plexiglass dividers for our tables in the classrooms, paying our health and safety coordinator and our distance learning coordinator. So that was huge, and it did make a dent into the revenue that we've lost. The second round was the governor's enrollment stability grant, and that was also to essentially make up for the revenue loss and to provide money for those mitigating measures. And for Prescott Unified School District, it was right around about $1.17 million. So put those two together, right around where we are at with the revenue loss. But in December, a second round of ESSER money is coming through, and we haven't been told what our allocation is, but for Prescott Unified, it's being estimated it'll be about $1.8 million, and that will be good for purchasing and providing learning opportunities, whether it's a more robust summer school, more mitigating measures, and it's good for the next 2.5 years. So that money is going to help us currently and for the years to come with COVID and as our situation changes.
So, Brian, we're in that budget season. It's kind of hard to believe because it's only February, but we're starting to think about our budget for next year, our staffing for next year, and, you know, how we're going to move forward. What are some other factors we've been thinking about as we consider next year's budget? We have, you know, the cuts that you talked about, and then also we have the federal money, which has restrictions. Is there anything else that is going to be important to consider for next year?
Prescott Unified School District is very lucky because for the last 5 years, we've been very frugal and fiscally responsible with all of our spending. Districts are allowed to carry forward their maintenance and operation leftover budgets if they don't spend it all from 1 year to the next. And as of 5 years ago, we had almost no carry forward, and we're healthy in that area now. So really, how many kids are going to come back when we're in person? And we have to predict that. And our carry forward is going to allow us to not make, you know, deep cuts with that uncertainty. And so with our governing board meeting coming in March, our budget package will rely on our carry forward as kind of a safety net so that we can almost wait and see how many kids come back and then adjust based on what the reality is 1 year from now. You know, the other thing that we have to prepare for is in 2015, our voters voted for a bond and override and passed it 2-1, 67-66% approval. And unfortunately, in November, our override did not pass. And so it's going to phase out over the next 3 years with about $320,000 less in revenue over the next 3 years to a tune of about $1 million. And when that passed in 2015, we gave raises to all staff members, and those raises are still in their salaries. And so we're going to have to make up that money somehow. And once again, we can rely on our carry forward a little bit to see what next year brings. But that's going to be another major impact on our decisions upcoming as the override not passing.
And Brian, I'll just add that, you know, we're grateful that we've created a savings account for a rough rainy day, and the rough rainy day is happening now, and we're able to keep status quo. But when we asked for a new override, we were $6,000 below the state average, which is $16,000 below the national average. And so that just puts us further behind the game, because rather than give a raise this year, we'll put all of our money into not giving our staff a pay cut. And so I just want listeners to know that's kind of where PUSD is at. We're going to fall further behind in the recruiting and retaining piece. And so that's a tough piece there. But, hey, Brian, thanks so much for being on. We could probably keep you on for a whole show because this is a very complex topic. And we appreciate your expertise in it. And I feel 100% confident that we know all about our monetary systems and our budget. And we've looked at all of those over the years. Listeners can take a look at our Auditor General's report and see how we compare to others in the state. And I can tell you, I'm very confident that we're as good as it gets. This is not an easy budget to do, and number 48 in the nation. And we do it about as good as you can do it. So that's kudos to you, Brian Moore. Thanks. And I'll throw it to you, Marty, to wrap it up.
Thanks, Brian, for being here. And you are listening to The Soup Scoop on Talk of the Town, 1130 a.m., 99.9 and 95.5 FM. Streaming worldwide at kqna.com. We'll be right back.
Ring, ring, goes the bell.
You're listening to Talk of the Town Soup Scoop. Now listen up, because class is back in session.
Welcome back, KQNA listeners. Joe Howard and Marty Reed here, and you're listening to The Soup Scoop. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We've got a great show for you. And right now we have our partners from Arm to Know on the show with us today. They've been such great partners and done so many things and gathered parents and students in so many ways. So thanks for joining us, Kinsey Van Wormer and Rainey Schneider. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Joe. How are you, Marty?
Good. Thank you for being here. Let's start off maybe, Kinsey, can you tell our listeners what the Arm to Know organization is and the mission, you know, that you hope to accomplish within our community?
Well, Arms to Know started right about 3 years ago because there was a group of parents who thought that there were some things maybe that our youth was going through that we didn't necessarily recognize or realize that they were going through because it was so different than when we were growing up. And we came together and we thought, oh, you know what, we're just going to see if we can have some community members help us kind of educate the kids and bring in the parents so that they can see the same thing that the kids are seeing, you know, getting the information that we are trying to put out. And when we did that first event, we thought maybe we would have 50 people. And as we got closer to the event, we were crossing our fingers that we would get 50 people. And as when the event started, we had 50, 75, 100, 150, and we were blown away by the community and how many people showed up to that first event. I think that proved to us that we were in need of something within our community that was going to educate the youth along with their families and parents on the same topics and see what was going to happen when they walked away, that with the youth would be able to hear from their peers and from other experts some of the information that we were given, like substance abuse, suicide, then mental health at athletes. And within that same event, that the parents would be able to also hear what the youth are hearing. With those events, we really try to educate the parents and the youth. We try to empower them. We try to give them tools so they can go out after that and fight for on all of those topics that they might be struggling with. And we've had a really, really great support from all the Tri-Cities, Chino, Prescott Valley, Prescott. It's been great to see.
Well, I know every program I've gone to has been wonderful, and you're right that the attendance has been incredible. You know, we have a hard time getting folks to come to programs about the schools, but you guys have done a great job really addressing some of the needs of the community, and we really appreciate it. It's for us been a wonderful partnership.
Marty,
you hit right on it. You know, every time I meet with Rainey and McKenzie and the group that supports Arm to Know, I always say two things, or two things always happen. One is we're talking about an event, and I say, oh, my gosh, we try to have events like this, and we have, like, five people show up, you know, at all of our schools. And every time they do it, it works. So what a great partnership with that. The other piece is as we sit down and we're brainstorming, and they always have this great idea or direction of what the next need is, We sit and have deep conversation as parents and the struggles and challenges and beautiful things that happen with raising our kids. And it always feels great to me to sit down with this group. And what they do, what you guys do, Arm to Know, is you bring that to a large crowd of parents. It's a group of parents and families, and we're sitting there talking about how to raise our kids together. And it's the way community should happen. So, Rainey, I have a question for you, or if you would talk to us a little bit about a recent survey that Arm to Know, and again, grassroots, parents around talking about what's going on and saying, oh, my gosh, there's some issues right now with our kids being stuck at home in distance learning and with their social-emotional needs. And I know you guys put out a survey. Rainey, will you give us some background and some results on that deal?
Yeah, absolutely. So before every event that we do, we kind of put our feelers out. We gather information about the needs, the struggles, the issues that need to be that parents want addressed or want help addressing. And so we and that really helps direct the planning of our event. So a few weeks ago, we put out a survey with 10 questions, and it was just to get a feel for the mental health of parents and students right now. And we know that mental health has been challenged this year, and we know that everyone is struggling, but we really wanted to know how and specifically what that struggle is so that we can be helpful in bringing resources and tools to parents and students. So that survey, the survey results are posted on our Instagram. They're posted in the highlights of our Instagram, and so they'll be there permanently. People can look at them when they have time to. But it brought back one of the takeaways that I think is significant from the survey is that parents are doing a really great job of supporting their kids. They all said that this is extremely hard to support kids, but they're doing an amazing job. creatively coming up with ideas on how to support their kids through school and through their extracurricular activities. And they're literally rock stars when it comes to this situation. But I think that the concerning part is that 90% of the majority of those same parents who are super supportive and innovative in helping their kids reported that the mental health of their kids is still really struggling. And so as good as they can do, it's just not enough. So we have, you know, isolation is the enemy here, right? I mean, this year we've all felt that. Isolation has wreaked some havoc in our families, in our community. And I think that that is definitely something that we are going to have to address and figure out as a community on how to support our kids that have been so isolated for so long.
So, Rainey, are you thinking that maybe there will be a presentation or a workshop that Arm to Know might put on for parents to give them tips and ideas of how to, you know, how to navigate this pandemic and the isolation and the anxiety of the unknown?
Right, absolutely. That's the purpose of Arm to Know, is to put on these meetings or events and pool community resources so that we can offer that to parents. And our board has been meeting for the last couple of weeks, and we are aggressively planning for an event. And I think that we would start, that first event would be a parent meeting. We need to figure out how we can do that safely, social distance, but it is definitely something that we have in the works. It's definitely a conversation that we're working on right now.
Mackenzie, would you talk a little bit about when you do your events? I think one of the really unique, neat things about it is it's about full families, and you have a piece for parents, sometimes the whole group together, sometimes kids are separated. There's a pretty neat message always I remember about you all about taking the long way home so that you can talk longer with your students. So talk about how you lay out your events to really include and be specific for parents and students.
Sure, Joe. So we always try, you know, whenever we do these events, we really try to bring our local resources in. So the first 15 to 30 minutes, we want someone locally to come in, kind of touch on the topic that we're, whatever the topic is we're addressing, let's say it's suicide or stress. And when they do that, we like to have both parents and youth in the same area so that the parents can hear what the youth hear, the youth can hear what the parents hear. So during that first 15 to 30 minutes, we touch base on the science of the topic. And then we do a breakout group where the youth go, they do their thing. We try to do something fun where they feel like they may not be learning, but they really are learning. So we have somebody else come in with the youth and they leave and they're playing games, interactive things that are kind of based around whatever that topic is that we're trying to discuss. And during that time, we bring in somebody else for the parents. And that's when we're trying to give the parental tools and let the parents ask questions that either they might not want to ask in front of their kids or their kids might not want them to ask. So we give them, that's probably another 30 minutes. And then the last hour, we usually come together or 45 minutes. We bring everybody back together and we have a keynote speaker. And that speaker we usually bring from somewhere outside of Prescott and who is an expert on the topic and can give the, usually it's based towards the youth because it's harder really to get the youth engaged than the parents. So we really try to bring somebody in who can really speak to the youth, but everybody can get something out of. And we've had good success with that overall.
Well, Rainey and Mackenzie, we're coming to the end of our segment here. And I'm whenever we have a great guest like you in Arm to Know, I'm like, oh my gosh, we need to have more time with you. And so we'd like to have you back. And when we know what this event is, please let us know and we'll get it right here on KQNA and through all of our Facebook and all of our other avenues. But I just want to point out to our listeners and our community that this is what community is all about. Here's a group of parents who are also professionals in the area as well that have stepped up and said, what can we do? How can we work together as families and parents to support our kids and to support their future. And it's what makes Prescott a great place. So I want to thank you, Rainey and McKenzie and Arm to Know, for being on the show. And we got to have you back, okay?
Yeah,
well,
thank you
for having us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Well, when we return from the break, Kelly Bradstreet, District Programs Director, will be on the line. So stay with us. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Soup Scoop on Talk of the Town, 1130 a.m., 99.9 and 95.5 FM, streaming worldwide at KQNA.com. We'll be right back.
Ring, ring, goes the bell.
You're listening to Talk of the Town Soup Scoop. Now listen up, because class is back in session.
Welcome back to the Soup Scoop on Talk of the Town. I'm Marty Reed here with Joe Howard. And we want to welcome another member of our district leadership team, Kelly Bradstreet. Kelly has joined us on the show many times before, but we're bringing her back to talk some more to us about social-emotional programs that we offer here in our district. Welcome, Kelly.
Hi there, you guys. How are you?
Good.
Good, Kelly. It's good to hear your voice. And, you know, I want to set the record straight. Kelly's our director of instructional support. I don't think I said it that way on the outro last time around, but how are you, Kelly?
Well, I'm here by myself in my office, and I'd rather be with you guys, but otherwise, I'm great.
Reminds me of a Grateful Dead song, I'd Rather Be With You. You too, Kelly. We miss you. We'll be seeing you soon, though. We're all heading back to work and getting kids back in school next week, so we're thrilled about that. But,
yeah, there's a real buzz in our house about that. My husband's the band director, and he can't wait to be with the kids.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. Well, we're going to get back to doing what we're great at, and we've been chomping at the bit for a long time. So, well, listeners, and Kelly, if you heard the last segment, we got into the discussion of mental health, and that's become quite a concern of families and parents during this COVID time when kids aren't able to come to school and socialize, and also PUSD has a huge infrastructure and safety net of mental health support. Now, that is not something that's funded by the state. That's a priority that we've done locally, and our school board has prioritized. So we take that funding from teacher salaries and other programs and things like that because it's important for us. And in PUSD, we have over $500,000 in salaries alone dedicated to social-emotional counselors. This is a national crisis, and you know, we've seen it certainly locally and across the state. But we've got you on, Kelly, because you know, you're right in the center of that always because you're in charge of instruction. And when we're working with kids, it's not just through social-emotional counselors, but it's through the instruction that we do every day. So we could talk about this topic for about 6 hours, but we only have about 15 or 20 minutes. So Kelly, would you just kind of jump in and talk about what is social-emotional learning in the Prescott Unified School District look like in classrooms and from an instructional standpoint?
Oh, absolutely. That's a really easy topic to talk about. We have two cultures that we have adopted, and we fully integrate them and embrace them. And one of them is capturing kids' hearts, which the whole theory behind that is if you can't capture their hearts, you can't capture their brains, you can't capture their minds. And Kids at Hope, which is every kid, every student can be successful without exception. And those are well embedded into our schools, and our teachers practice things with that every day. For instance, they do good things at the beginning of class, and that's happening K through 12, where they can kind of touch base with their kids. They also do social contracts. They have kids kind of check in with each other. There's all kinds of different strategies they use to make sure that they're checking in with kids with both of those cultures. And in addition to that, I would say that we have a couple of brain breaks that address social emotional issues like Go Noodle. Our teachers are always searching for things that will incorporate what they're learning with their own social emotional needs and their own learning there as well. And I would just say that our teachers are super aware that kids need it, and if they can address it in the classroom, they're definitely getting in touch with our social emotional counselors, and they're asking for help, and they're giving referrals so that our counselors can kind of step in at that point and give those kiddos a little bit more individual attention.
I love this topic that it's really, you know, I guess on the one hand, it's not so great that kiddos are experiencing stress and anxiety at home. But on the other hand, hopefully a positive of this is that because it's become such a national topic, this support that kiddos need, that, you know, maybe it will become a priority in education funding. And I think one thing, you know, Kelly, you're talking about these classroom programs that really build relationships and, you know, provide support to students. But I think there's a piece that people really kind of forgot about or didn't realize, and that's that teachers understand the importance of structure and expectations and goal setting, and that's not happening many times at home, which is causing a lot of stress and anxiety and worry about what are they supposed to do, what, you know, the unknown. And I think that's kind of one of those, you know, topics that's not talked about, is school provides structure and expectations.
Absolutely. And I think our teachers have reached out to parents numerous times and giving them hints and tips, but like develop a schedule for your kid and give them a space for where they're going to do their schoolwork. And I think that's happening more and more, but it's not something we're used to doing as parents. I know that I had a hard time doing that over the summer with my kids, but they do need that. My kids used to have nightmares at the beginning of summer because they wanted that structure so much. So I had to like create schedules for the summer. And that is what our parents need to do at home for their kids, is create that structure, because it's change. And kids, I think boundaries really give kids a sense of safety and security.
We're aware that we're not able to have to allow those things to happen when we're doing distance learning. It's, or you know, we don't have the same type of ability to do that, obviously, when kids are at home. So it's been a huge topic for our teachers about how to make up for that and how to deal with that. What are some of the things that we've done during COVID? And we've instructed our teachers systematically. We're not just sort of letting it get figured out by itself. We've been systematic. Can you talk about how we've done that during distance learning?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that our schools are doing is making it very apparent to parents that if they feel like their kids are in need of social emotional help, they should contact their social emotional counselors. Our teachers are doing their best to be aware of if kids are showing up, if they're not showing up, if they are showing up, but they're not participating. We really pay attention to all those things. And if the teacher can't reach the kids and get them to express themselves, they're reaching out to the social emotional counselors. Our teachers are hyper aware right now of those kids' social emotional needs to the best of their ability. We can't read their faces necessarily. We can't read their body language, but we're probably checking in more with them than we ever have before. At the beginning of class period, at the end, if we're not hearing from kids, we're reaching out. We're not letting them disappear. We're not letting them be invisible. So I know that's one of the things that we're doing for sure. And there are kids that are being referred to our social emotional counselors, and they're reaching out to those kids. And recently we have Jessie Stickle, who is our student success coach at Prescott High School, and she's now creating videos for parents to show their kids at home. They can watch them together, and our teachers will be using those videos possibly too. And there's a reflection sheet to go with them. Just take a second to connect is basically the premise of those videos. And there's all ways to reframe things and put kids in touch with their feelings and label what they're feeling so that they, you know, feel better about it. So Jessie Stickle will be sending those out once a week. You can find those on our social emotional website, which is on our landing page of our Prescott Unified School website. And they can get the activities right there off of our website.
Yeah, I know one of the hardest parts about this, Kelly, is that we are offering those services to parents. Not all of them know about it. They're starting to see it and hear it. Some of them that we offer it to turn it down and say, actually, I just wanted my kid to hang out with other kids during lunch and things like that. And we understand that. And we're going to be back to school next week. But so that's been one of the tricky parts. So, Kelly, before we go to the break, we're going to come back and talk more about this. So
would you talk some about how we've trained our teachers over the last 5 years to support kids in the classroom? Because you're in charge of professional development and teacher training. What are some of the things that we've done with teachers in the last 5 years to prepare them for this, even before we knew about COVID?
Right. Well, I would say that all of our teachers have received trauma-informed classroom strategies so that they know how to deal with kids who've been through trauma, which this pandemic is definitely trauma. But we have those strategies. We've had some social-emotional Q&A sessions with our social-emotional counselors, questions that teachers have, how do I deal with these behaviors, what do I look for? In fact, we're having a professional development on our next in-service day, which is February 12th, and our social-emotional counselors are going to help our teachers prepare for kids to come back, what to look for, at-risk behaviors, how to help kids deal with change, and social-emotional, other social-emotional topics. So those are the kinds of things that we put on as we see there's a need, and it's ongoing. And our social-emotional counselors are always happy to come in and talk to small groups of teachers, but that's kind of ongoing. They get visited quite often by teachers that are always collaborating with them.
We are going to bring Kelly back after a short break. You're listening to The Soup Scoop on Talk of the Town, 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM, streaming worldwide at k2na.com. We'll be right back.
Ring, ring, goes the bell.
You're listening to Talk of the Town Soup Scoop. Now listen up, because class is back in session.
Welcome back to Soup Scoop on KQNA's Talk of the Town. I'm Joe Howard here with Marty Reed, and we have invited Kelly Bradstreet to stay on with us. We're talking about social, emotional, mental health in Prescott Unified School District. We'll wrap up our show today with a renewed sense of hope and inspiration about the health of our community, our schools, and our world.
But if, you know, what I want to ask Kelly, and Joe, you should probably chime in on this as well, is Prescott has made a priority of putting money towards some positions to support students in their mental health. And I think we should talk about that because this is unique. Most districts aren't doing this right now.
Right. In terms of funding, PUSD has one grant from the state with a counselor at Mile High Middle School. But we've in total put over $572,000 into social emotional learning. So this is 10 staff, and they're spread throughout the district, and they are very, very busy assessing and finding needs and then working with students that have these needs. And Kelly, you might be able to elaborate a little bit on some of the work that those people do every day.
Absolutely. Well, our social-emotional counselors are always available for kids in student crisis emergencies. Anytime that people reach out to them and request that they get their help, they're available for them. They collaborate with teachers who have identified student concerns, and they do individual therapy for students. In fact, they're doing that right now during this COVID. We also have character coaches, and they actually coach students to make better decisions if it's behavior problems, but they're there for them emotionally and socially as well. And they work in conjunction with our social-emotional counselors. And then we have, as I mentioned, Jesse Stickle at the high school, who's a student success coach, very much like a character coach as well. But she works with small groups of kids together, and they kind of work things through things together so that kids don't feel so isolated and alone in their problems. And they know other kids are experiencing those. And that's been very highly effective. There's been a lot of data that says that kids are doing better academically because of those groups and because of all of the work that we're doing with our students, with all of our different staff.
Well, we really are attempting to support our students. I love the work that Jessie does. She helps students set goals, and that's a big part of a program that we do in Prescott Unified called Kids at Hope. And what we've learned is that by setting goals and thinking of themselves as a successful person in the future, that provides hope. And hope provides success. And so Jesse is a wonderful addition to our staff. All of our counselors support our students. Our character coaches help kiddos make good choices and think about
their behavior and things that they can do to make friends and be successful in school. Thank you, Kelly, for all that you do to help us with these programs.
No problem. It's my pleasure. It's a great program.
Thanks, Kelly, and thanks for being on the show. And I want to tell our listeners, take a look at our website. We've got a new page that's dedicated completely to social-emotional learning and all of the things that we offer. We also, I wrote a blog, and everyone on the show here today contributed to that, including those social-emotional counselors. And that's on our website as well and should be in the Courier in the near future. So we just want to thank everyone for joining us again this month for Soup Scoop. We want our listeners to know that the commitment of the people who work for PUSD is unparalleled. Everyone, our bus drivers to our classroom teachers, is dedicated to bringing high-quality education while keeping a healthy and safe environment.